Okay, praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And our whole purpose of coming together is to worship you. We enjoy learning and studying and fellowshipping together, but our main purpose, our main reason for existence is to love you and to worship you, to fellowship with each other. So, Father, we want to receive you. Jesus, you said, "Where two or more gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." And so we invite you, the great I am, to be in our midst. You are our shepherd. You are our teacher. We want you to guide us into how you would have us to live. Guide us into all truth by your Holy Spirit, for you are the truth. We want to be guided into you, the truth. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We don't have anything to pass out, but if you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke 17. Luke 17, and starting at verse 5. We want to talk tonight about faith. I think I mentioned it to you last month that we were going to be doing this.
Said
homework.
Yeah, you all missed it. You missed homework.
Did you do your homework?
Of course.
Of course. Always did your homework, didn't you? Okay. The apostles came to Jesus and they simply said, "Increase our faith." So the Lord said, "If you have faith of a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea, and it would obey you." Now you know all about faith and the increase of faith. No, because all he was telling you was the results. Jesus tells them, and by the way, what does that match up with? Mark 11, 22, 23. When Jesus spoke to the fig tree and it dried up, they was asking him about faith, and he said, "You have faith of a mustard seed," and so forth. Okay, so then he goes on to tell them a story, and the story goes like this: "And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he comes in from the field, 'Come at once and sit down to eat'? But will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I've eaten and drunk. Afterward, you will eat and drink.' Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, you, when you have done all those things which are commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do.'" Now you have to understand where this question came from, or this request, increase our faith. They had been walking with Jesus. They had been watching him. And they realized there was something really different here, something far beyond them. And they wanted what he had. They wanted the same faith that he had. And so their request is, "We want to be able to do what you do. And we realize you're doing this by faith. And so we want to know how to be increased in faith." And so Jesus tells this story. Of course, your homework was, think about the servant. And by the way, just kind of clue you in a little bit. This is Jesus' own story. He's actually telling you about himself, how he operates. See, he's actually telling you he is that servant. See, his father is the master, and he's the servant. And this is the way, you can hear Jesus say, "Well, this is the way I do it. You want to know, this is the way I do it." You hear a lot of people, they want to help you out. And, "Well, this is the way I do it." Or you can just hear Jesus. And so he's telling them. Now, what I wanted you to do was to think about the servant. Does this servant have any cares? Does this servant have any worries? Get real specific. Does he have to think about food? Absolutely not. Why? Because the master taking care of that. Does he have to think anything about clothing?
No.
And you could just go on and on and on. Essentially, he has everything taken care of. All he has to do is obey the master. That's all he has to do. He has not a single worry, not a single care, nothing to be anxious about. So Jesus then teaching us, teaching the disciples, he would say, "Oh, ye of little faith." He'd get, you know, they would be in a predicament, and of course they'd always call on him to get them out of the predicament, and then he would always speak to them, and he'd say, "Oh, ye of little faith, why do you doubt? Oh, ye of little faith, why do you worry? Oh, ye of little faith, why do you reason? Don't be anxious about anything, oh, ye of little faith." See? So he kept talking to them about that you're allowing these things as though it's your responsibility, when it's actually the Father's responsibility. So they were hindered in their faith. They're pressed down in their faith, end up with little faith because they've taken on God's responsibility. If we just simply allow God to enjoy himself, we're his children, and just allow him to care for us, pretty soon you'd realize all your anxiety, all your worries, all your doubts, and all your reasoning hasn't helped you one bit. And however many years you've been on this earth, they've never helped you one time. But faith has helped you. As we think of the servant then, and how he's cared for and he obeys. Now think about this. What does he do? He does what the master says, to go to the field, come home, prepare me a meal. Okay? Now, Jesus, how did he operate in faith? There was this centurion. This centurion, Jesus was passing through Capernaum, and there was this centurion, which meant that he was over how many people?
100 people.
Okay, century. And so some Jews went out to tell Jesus about the situation, that this centurion had a servant that was sick. And the Jews, they said, "Oh, this guy is wonderful. He's very worthy. He has built a synagogue," you know, and they go on and on about him. But then as Jesus begins to approach his house, he sends word out and he said, "No, I'm not worthy that you even come under my roof. But just speak the word and my servant will be healed." He said, "I know how these things work because I'm a man under authority. And I have 100 people under me. And when I say to this one, go, he goes. When I say to this one, come, he comes. I say to one, do this, he does it. So just speak the word." But you notice that Jesus never said, "Servant, be healed." He said to the centurion, "Go home." And the very moment the centurion turned and took that step, they checked the time, because he asked the servants, you know, at what hour did he begin to mend? Same hour. Okay. See? And so Jesus' favorite word for great faith was go. Put spittle on a blind man's eyes and said,
go wash
in the pool. The man beside the pool, take up your bed and go home. Syrophoenician woman, go home. Your daughter's delivered. She's okay. 10 lepers, go show yourself to the priest. They'd been watching all of this. They want to know, how do you do this? He said, I obey my Father, and I speak to people to do. Stretch out your hand. And the hand was made completely whole. So his faith was hearing and obeying. It's really quite simple. People have complicated it, but Jesus simplified it by telling us a nice little story about a guy that had a servant. Now, if we want to, I'm just talking with it, learn to walk every day the situation that's there for that moment. See, that's where God is bringing us. And there's a reason for it. There's a reason why he's bringing this teaching to us right now. Is because things are going to be popping so fast that you may think you have everything lined out for a week. And all of a sudden your week is totally messed up. Mm-hmm. Now, we're running down in foresight. It just seemed like every time, and everything the preacher preaches on, and so it's like a dance. It's like him and God are kind of dancing together, and the word, and the even the tornado, you know that. And of course, this is devastating. But every church in Branson was packed out the following Sunday.
I bet.
Kenneth Copeland is having his meeting down there. We had friends tried to go to his meeting. The building is packed out, and hundreds of people standing outside that can't even get in. But the main thing is, on national news, they're telling it's the churches that are going to help the people. Mm-hmm. It's the believers that are getting in there and getting the work done on national television.
And that's really
it's
good.
The churches. It's the churches. You know, boy, they're out there with their chainsaws. Our whole church, just everybody grabbed chainsaws and rakes and hammers and you know everything they needed. A lot of them have big tractors and just you know everybody just quit everything they're doing, quit their jobs, everything. Just we're going to help. You know. And so to say, well, I know what I'm going to be doing next week. Jesus said, don't think that you know. And so our ability to let go. And go is really going to play out in these last days. Mm-hmm. Things that we think are set, you know, in the past people could work 30 years somewhere and retire. People get right up to retirement now and find their plants sold or closed down or whatever. They have to start all over. You know, 29 years now, you have to start all over again. But if you follow the Lord in great faith, you don't have a thing to worry about. Just simply following God, walking by faith, and be assured that He'll take excellent care of you. And if you're thrown into problems, it means the problem needs to be solved, mm-hmm. and you're there to solve it. You know, look at everything as an opportunity for the God who created the universe to fix it. Mm-hmm. Everything that happens is, oh my, why is this happening? Don't worry about it. Yes. It's happened. Fine. Now, you and God fix it. You and God, there's nothing impossible. If you believe, there's nothing impossible. And the Lord, and it doesn't matter whether you're doing natural things or supernatural things, God is going to be with you to actually accomplish it. I had a good time yesterday. I was preaching at a church, across the Victory Church, and the Lord spoke to me. I was sitting on the front row, and they worship for an hour, which is wonderful. You know, they just sing, and they stop, and they worship, and tongues interpretation and worship, and it just goes, which gives me a good time to just seek the Lord. And I was talking to the Lord, and the Lord said, now at the end of the service, I want you just to have them speak my name. Just say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And so we took like 5 minutes to just, and Jesus said, now, I'm going to be standing right beside you. Okay, I'll do whatever you say, you know. And so we started doing that. Nobody did. All the people did was say, Jesus. And just miracle. One of the ladies came up to me afterwards and she said, I don't know if I was seeing things, but Jesus was standing right beside you. That's what he said he would do.
You know. That's so cute.
The encouragement is just to be ready. I was telling you that we went to Florida on the 16th. We were supposed to go out on the 15th. Well, Jesse and I get to the airport, and it's totally fogged in. There are 2 planes circling. You know, they're the big jets, but they can't land because they can't see the runway. And they, of course, they told us over the PA system, they're going to circle for an hour. And if the fog don't break, then they have enough fuel to get to Memphis to land. But they're going to have to refuel and maybe even come back if there's still enough time in the day. And of course, everybody had already missed their flights, their connecting flights, but then anyway, so it really didn't matter. I had my iPad, so I was sitting there reading. Jessie had her Kindle, so we were just, you know, spending the time. And all of a sudden, I felt in my spirit to go over to the window that faced the runway. And I walked right up this close to the window. And I said, Father, we need some help here. I need for you to send the wind in and blow this fog out. I was looking right straight out at the runway and the windsock. The windsock was straight down this way. As soon as I spoke, that windsock just stood straight out. And the wind came in, blew the fog away. Plane came down and landed. Well, I didn't know, and they didn't tell us, but one of the crew members was having an emergency medical thing on the plane. And they had to get him down and get him to the hospital. That's what that was all about. God was interested in that crew. Didn't help us any. We didn't leave till the next day anyway. What was real neat, our son in Florida, who has his pilot's license and everything, knows how to get on the radar, live radar. He was actually watching it. And he said, Dad, you won't believe it, but a hole opened up. In the fog. and then closed right back up. When that plane took off, of course, they had to take off empty because they couldn't get another crew member. So they flew it back to Atlanta empty. You could not see the plane taking off. It was out there in the fog. So you could hear it, but you couldn't see it. That's what I'm talking about. This kind of faith. Jesus said, the things I do, you will do. And greater than these will you do because I go to my Father. Now, there's one element that people get hung up on. And that is when you're in a situation like that. Of course, a lot of times we're thinking about what will people think and different things involved in it. Mm-hmm. But one of the main things that I have to deal with people on is nervousness. When you're right at the edge of a miracle, you get nervous. And people have mistaken nervousness for being God saying, don't do it. You know, this isn't the will of God or whatever. You know, or I'm not the one or whatever. But if you think about people who sing professionally or who make speeches, those who are most nervous are the ones that always give the best speeches or sing the best songs. Nervousness comes with the territory because that is breakthrough. There's always pressure before breakthrough. But then you break through. Now, those of you...
That's interesting.
So when you move into something by faith, okay, there's going to be... You're going to feel the shaking, and there's going to be the nervousness. But don't think, well, I'm not supposed to be doing this. No, that just tells you you're getting close to breakthrough. Just go on through anyway. And more than likely, the more nervous you are, the better the results. But go ahead and break through. Jesus always did. He taught his disciples to do that, his apostles to do that. How do you walk in great faith? Simply obey God. We only have one purpose on this earth, that's to please God. We're not here for us, we're here for him. He bought us, we're dead. Crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, resurrected with Christ, to walk now in newness of life. And yes, things seem to work backward than what they did in our old sinful carnal life. But that's okay. We're learning a new life. We're learning how things operate. And God needs every one of you to walk by faith. Take every opportunity, whether you're downtown, whether you're Walmart, the gas station, at work, you know, wherever you are, God needs you there. You know, God's not going to send you somewhere necessarily. He might. But most of the time, the miracles I see are right around me. Mm-hmm. It's a part of my daily, I'm not thinking I'm going to go out and do a miracle today. It's just, it showed up and I'm it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the old, we used to play shadow tag at night when the moon was shining. Mm-hmm. And you get touched, you're it. And so just you and Jesus, you're plenty. You don't have time to go home and fast for a week. Maybe if I'd fast for a week and spend more time in the Word, just live in the Word. Mm-hmm. I keep my CDs. Every time I get in the car, plug in the CD, let the Bible talk to me. All I do is obey. I don't own the farm. All I do is just work on it. I'm a servant, and I work here. And so it doesn't make any difference to me. I don't have any time. My time is his time. Whatever it takes, that's what we're going to do. But just simple obedience. See, if we reason and think, oh, this is what God wants me to do. In fact, I would be more successful doing this for the kingdom. Well, God don't want us to be successful. He wants us to be fruitful. And if we're going to be fruitful, the only way we can be fruitful is to abide in Christ, let him abide in us, and we're to abide in his word and let his word abide in us. If we do that and just live our lives, kick back, put your feet up until he says go. And when he says go, get your feet moving. Make that phone call, write that letter, go wherever he says to go, do whatever he says to do, and get as nervous as you can and let God do his miracles. Amen?